97 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Text line is open at 343-0106, 343-0106. And people asking, yes, the podcast, give me a second here, the podcast of the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Report will be up soon. Of course, you can get that podcast along with the 45 hours a week of podcasts that we put up. That would be correct. 45 hours of organically created content right here in Mobile and Baldwin counties that we're doing every week, available for you at fmtalk1065.com. Just click the podcast tab, or you can subscribe, which we like. Mm-hmm. iTunes, Stitcher. You go to Spotify?
Yes, yeah, Spotify. Tune in.
And find the podcast right there. When you do that and you listen to podcasts, give us like stars or thumbs up or whatever. Give it the maximum possible. We sure appreciate it. You want to drop us a comment there too.
Nothing like a shameless plug.
Yeah, that's what I do. And one of those 45 hours a week of live local content is with my friend Robert Kennedy Jr. Of course, Kennedy for Alabama on Friday nights, and he joins us here on Thursday mornings. Hey.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Dalton. How are you guys doing?
Good. Doing great.
The last time we talked, we were not in the same studio. I was in Washington.
How was your trip?
It was good. I am such a sucker for, like, in between shows and stuff, even though it's been a while since I've been there, but I've done a lot of these. I walk in the mall, doing the Capitol.
It's tours. Inspirational, isn't it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm still a kid with that. You know, I'm just... Maybe if you worked up there all the time, that it would get to be, it's just what it is, but it inspires all.
Well, I was in Maryland for a lot of years, and regardless of that, every single time that I drove into the city and you start to see the Capitol, the Washington Monument, or the White House, or any of the other memorials, it's still inspirational.
I think people need to go, not just, you know, your kids are going to go on the school trip. Maybe go follow them up there. Take them for a trip up there. All right. A lot to talk about this morning. One that has been the subject that we talked about 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. in general, and now specifically with California and Governor Gavin Newsom passing this law to let athletes profit from their likeness. Dalton's so good at the likeness. What is it?
Name, image, and likeness.
Thank you,
Dalton. That's the phrase that's thrown about all the time.
I think I said this on Monday or whenever he signed it. I said, well, put that down on the list. For the first time, I think on record, I agree with Gavin Newsom.
You know, it's actually interesting. First, on the positive side, this has generated a lot of social media activity.
Yes.
And as you can well imagine, I have friends all across the political spectrum. And the one positive that I want to put on this one was... we had multiple days of back and forth debate, and nobody called each other names.
That's good.
It was just all kind of rational and logical arguments for and against. And I literally put on there, if we could bottle this and distribute it as a case study on how to actually interact with each other and apply it to politics, that would make our world a lot better place.
So this is something that California does this, and I don't think as California goes the nation.
The nation goes that way.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
But at some level here, if you're in, people say it's never going to happen in Alabama or whatever, but Dalton has a great perspective from sports that mm-hmm. not only does this, it is going to happen, it will give the parity. People say, well, there'll be no parity. Mm-hmm. In fact, Dalton, you pointed out that this will probably give a better chance of some players not all going to the same five or six schools, right?
I mean, if what we're looking at now is parity, I mean, give me a break, because you've got Alabama and Clemson at the top every time, and
right.
The top five schools pull in a majority of the top recruits from the nation. I don't think there will ever be complete parity in basically any sport.
There won't.
But I do think that if you've got a player that might be the eighth, ninth best player at Alabama,
mm-hmm. right.
He might sell more jerseys or get better endorsements if he decides to go to a UAB or a South Alabama.
He would be the biggest fish in that pond.
For sure. So you might see some smaller schools that you probably don't have the success that these other big schools, they might not be, you know, annual winners, but they might get some really good players that come through because of this new rule.
I think that absolutely could happen. But there's actually something that I want to highlight before we get too deep into this topic. People are talking about the fear of unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. And we know that's the run rule of economics that is mm-hmm. always true. Something's going to come out that you don't know about. But what folks aren't looking at is the possibility that it will actually generate and create new markets. So think about your Olympic athletes who are doing, I don't know, biathlon, for example. Mm-hmm. They have to go out and figure out how to get sponsorship in order to substantiate themselves. Mm-hmm. So who's to say, as an undergrad, I was a debater, mm-hmm. right? Nobody was paying to come watch our debate tournaments, right? But now in this world, imagine being able to go out and get that sponsorship on your own. people who are creative, just like that gentleman you talked about who scammed the scammer,
the kid
might actually
Ireland,
figure
yeah.
out a way to make this work for him.
And it's easier than ever now with YouTube and yep. online.
Instagram.
You can market yourself on social media and on YouTube, and who knows who might be interested enough to endorse you. And we've seen that with several players in the NCAA who might make a YouTube account. I've seen place kickers do some amazing things on their YouTube account, but they can't profit off of what they're doing on the side. To me, it only makes sense.
Yeah, my attitude on this has changed over time, but I've summarized it in a brief statement. If anybody can make money from something, then everybody should be able to make money from something.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of taking the kid's image, likeness, putting it on a sports video game, and then a whole bunch of people can put change in their pocket, but the kid whose image and likeness you're using can't profit from that, that has always just kind of seemed odd to me.
Yeah, it seems like such a great way to teach a life lesson. At the same time, they're getting university education. It's a life lesson in how to market yourself, how to make money. It also, I said, it's got to be a motivator, too, if you're not saying that we're all mush brains in college, but we're all mush brains in college. And if your friends say, hey, man, let's go do this stunt, and you go, I have an endorsement deal with Eddie's Tire Shop or whatever, you know, that they're paying me to be their spokesperson.
Okay, Sean, because that's worked so well for professional athletes.
Well, what I'm saying is, versus zero, it is definitely
going to be a motivator. Something else to think about.
Right? Yes. College kids are mush brains, right? Mm-hmm. And they will be, but there's going to be always the kids are a little more mature than the rest.
Right.
We'll go, yeah, you know what? Y'all go, you know, ride across the campus square, you know, and do whatever. I'm going to stay right here because
exactly.
I'm getting money. I now have a nice apartment or I have this or that because I'm an athlete and I've got a good image and I'm not going to screw that up.
Mm-hmm. What was interesting about this particular debate was when people tried to shift it to the broader conversation about whether or not NCAA athletes should be paid, either in the form of some sort of guaranteed stipend or some sort of salary. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, we talk about the stipend exists. What was it?
Full scholarship players get, I think the stat, and this was from a couple of years ago, so it might have increased since then, but I think the stat was anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 mm-hmm. over the course of their 4 years in school.
Yeah, one of my social media folks, Naval Academy graduate that I was debating with actually cited that stat. And so my response to that was, that is true for some athletes.
Mm-hmm.
There are other athletes who are getting a minimum stipend. There are other athletes who are getting no stipend. As a matter of fact, I was having an IM exchange with one of my friends from in the Navy who was a Division III field athlete. She threw the hammer, right? And then her daughter is a Division II or Division III softball athlete.
Right.
And they weren't getting anything.
Right. But here's the thing. I, if you go to the schools and then you start saying, well, it's the same way now. The money that comes in, so I graduated from the University of Alabama. So mm-hmm. the money that comes in to the football program ends up financing other sports there that don't have the big crowds.
Right.
At that point, you've got some parity of the money being used that way. But for individuals, like the idea that if you start paying athletes the way my market-driven brain works.
Right.
Are you gonna have a bigger stipend for the person that puts more butts in seats?
Mm-hmm.
Than I think this law they're talking about in California is a lot better because you get the schools out of it,
right.
And you just give freedom to people to make their own choices. And if they do and it works, it's fine. And if they can't find a sponsor, it's still not the school's fault. It's the individual.
Right. So there are two separate aspects of this conversation. The part that I think we agree on is this notion of there is financial upside for you to be able to hustle your part-time job.
Yeah.
And if you are Johnny Football mm-hmm. and you can get somebody to purchase a football that you've actually put your signature on, go for what you know,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not necessarily hurting anybody else financially. When you start talking about the idea of paying individual athletes, this gets a little bit dicey. Because the pot of money is the same size.
Right.
The question just becomes, who should get a slice of that pot? And what I've often offered in terms of a possible solution is the model that existed similar to when we were in service academy. So when we attend a service academy, we're considered to be on active duty, and we actually got paid a salary.
Okay.
It wasn't a lot. On paper, it may have been, during the time that I was there, between 88 and 92, about $500 a month.
Okay.
But you were paying bills out of that money. So when you were first semester, freshman year, you may be getting $50. And then by the time you're a senior, you're getting $300, something like that.
But that teaches you something because your worth to the service is going up as you know more things, right?
Correct.
I like that.
And plus, you're paying things off like your uniforms and
right.
your computer, stuff that's not considered room and board, if you will. The reason why I offer that as a solution is you could take that slice of the money that's going into this market right now and say a certain amount is available to student athletes. I mean, even if you're paying a minimum wage, like right. 20 hours a week or something right. like that, it's better than nothing. Right, and that's just if the NCAA was trying to come up with concepts and ideas and ways to actually address it, as opposed to fighting it tooth and nail, we might end up finding ourselves having a better result.
All right, coming right back, more of our conversation, and what was switched to Florida that just what 2 days ago, schools allowing teachers to carry guns with qualifications. More of our conversation with Robert Kennedy Jr. when we come back. Kennedy for Alabama tomorrow night. Check out the show, and you'll give us a sneak peek of what's going to happen.
I absolutely will.
All right, coming right back. At 8:22, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on Thursdays. We get to visit with Robert Kennedy Jr., Kennedy for Alabama. Tomorrow night, what you're going to be discussing on the show?
Yeah, so we actually have two discussion topics. The first one is what we were just talking about, the impact of the California legislation that was signed by Governor Newsom. The second is going to be interesting as well. We're going to start with Greta Thunberg. And for your listeners, she was the young lady who spoke to United Nations, 16-year-old climate activist. And so there are two aspects of that we're going to dig down into. The first is how we feel about student activists, particularly people under the age of 18 mm-hmm. when they are addressing adults. And the second is the issue itself. What are our general thoughts about the environment, not only at the, call it, Paris Climate Accord levels mm-hmm. when you're talking about global warming and stuff like that, but really when we get down to the things that we care about here in Alabama, clean air, clean water, because we're a community that hunts and fishes and spends time outdoors.
And keeping sewage out of our water.
That would be a good thing.
All right. I want to talk about what just our neighboring state of Florida law and now enabling teachers, to some teachers,
mm-hmm.
qualified teachers, to carry guns.
Okay.
Okay. This is something that is obviously has been discussed, and it comes up, sadly enough, we go into a reaction mode
right.
after a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about, a lot of politicians will talk about doing something, they're going to do this, that, or the other. Often, most of that goes away.
Right.
But in Florida, you know, where the Parkland shooting was, it got traction, and DeSantis passed signed off on this law.
He
lets teachers carry with, and I think it's fair to say, and I can pull the story up in front of me, but I mean, there's some caveats to it. It's not just everybody can carry. You have to.
District has to sign off on it. You have to get something like 140, 150 hours worth of individual training, et cetera.
Pass psychological drug screening, complete, 144 hours of training. Like you said, the individual place can say no.
Right.
To me, this is a good thing.
Sean, come on, man.
Robert, come on, man.
You really think this is a good thing?
I do think it's a good thing.
All right, let me hit you with it.
Okay.
So, you know that you and I have a general consensus when it comes to issues of the Second Amendment.
Right.
With very few exceptions, particularly being concealed carry permit holders. But the issue isn't the individual teacher, right? The issue is, how do you operate in concert when you're operating in an emergency environment. Mm-hmm. So if you take the tragedy that happened in Parkland specifically, you had a trained, armed resource officer who essentially panicked in the face of an emergency, right? Here's an individual who was trained and had all that time. One of the reasons why we ended up being so proficient in the military, and the reason why law enforcement, generally speaking, runs into the danger as opposed to from the danger, is because of the amount of training that they have had.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, you cannot recreate that with one-off teachers in an individual building. And so the first problem that you have, if this particular emergency comes up, is the possibility that somebody's going to panic and end up acting in a way that will actually get them hurt, as opposed to protecting the children.
Okay, so let's say that, and there's validity to saying that there are individuals that will turn out that way. But if you look at the overall scenario, it's not 100%, it's not 50%. It is the exception to the rule. And I would say that you are going
think that it is the rule.
Okay, and I disagree.
Okay.
I think by the people that will self-select, right, this is not compulsory. They're not saying, teachers, you have to get the training and carry a firearm, right?
But I don't have a choice as the parent who's sending my child to sit in that classroom. That's the difference.
But the point is, how does somebody, okay, somebody who has the right to have a concealed carry permit outside that school, that same teacher can have that same, that's concealed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But we're going levels higher. The 144 hours of training, the background checks, the evaluations on these people, we're now taking it to a new level. And this person is choosing to say, I will take these extra encumbrances on to be able to provide security. That in itself, to me, high grades the people that
will
be in
enough.
That possession.
Not good enough. And let me explain to you why.
Versus what? Versus so, the bad guy has his way with the school until law enforcement can get there?
If the priority is the physical security of the structure, then we need to make the structure look similar to other structure where we have security. Take the Mobile Government Plaza, for example.
You and I are on the same page. I want magnetometers. I want metal detectors. Why
then
we can have them
in
other places, I agree with that. In addition, though, when you and I walk through...
Are you taking your concealed carry?
No, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. When you walk in to through a magnetometer, you at that one, that's one of the places where our concealed carry permit...
Does not apply.
Because... we have now handed over the security of ourselves, like an airport or anything, to people that have guns.
I am much more comfortable with the concept.
When we go in there, if you tell me I can't have a gun, now it is your responsibility, government, airport, whatever. You are now responsible
and
for my safety.
And that's the way that I feel about the school structure as well.
So
as a function
of
government.
But why can't the teachers act the same way? In Government Plaza, you have armed guards with, openly armed guards with law enforcement, but I bet you, I may be wrong, but I bet you detectives, plainclothes detectives with MPD or the Mobile County Sheriff's Office are armed in there as well.
Well,
if
what you are saying and what I am seeing are in concert with each other, if you go into the council chambers, if you look over to the left of the council chambers, you'll see what looks to me like a weapons locker.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks like sometimes law enforcement are coming in, they're securing their weapons in that
locker. I don't spend the time in there.
My point being is that the people who are actually armed in there are essentially regulated. It's the people who are on duty as guards. It's not just every law enforcement officer.
Here's the problem too, is school systems and funding. You could get me to agree with you if you said, all right.
Not buying it.
We're going to post an officer.
Okay.
The school system's going to take the money to post an officer at every classroom or on every hallway. Armed officer trained.
Every hallway's a little excessive, I think.
I'm making it excessive for a reason, because the fact is that at that point, you now have added a big, big layer of security. With having teachers with guns, there's no level. This school may have a lot of people that do it, this school may not, but the unknown is a good thing with the bad guys. They're not looking at the person. It's like I always tell people that open carry and think they're tough. I said, you're the first person they're going to shoot,
of course.
The idea of having teachers, and like George says on the text line, I would rather have somebody with a gun who may panic than have no gun at all.
Right.
So if you told me that the level of security at those schools now, we have an armed officer on every hallway, then I'd say, fine, the teachers don't need the guns.
So you've... over-indexed, and so it makes it a little hard to respond to that scenario specifically.
I'm a long time over-indexer.
I know. But if you take the scenario like what happened at Ladd Stadium, something happened and bang, the next week we had something in place because all of a sudden our priorities changed. And so I believe if at a minimum there was a concept of an armed resource officer that's assigned to each school, I think you just figure out how to do it. I want more than one.
I want, because this officer's over here and bad guy's over here.
Of course. But the point that I'm making is when you're balancing those two things together, we've only talked about the scenario where an armed intruder is coming in and actually trying to shoot kids. We're not talking about fights. We're not talking about, teachers being abused and all of a sudden someone getting a hold of that gun. We are not talking about how the weapons are secured in there. When I use the military scenario, part of the reason why we're so proficient is that we practice this every single day. Are the teachers going to be practicing in concert how to engage an enemy? I don't think so.
Pretty cool for the teachers to do. All right, tomorrow night, check out the show.
Yes, Kennedy for Alabama on FM Talk 106.5 from 6 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. Please listen in and call in with your thoughts.
Good deal. See you next week.
All right, man. Take care now.
Be right back.
Thank you, Kane. 8:37 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Mitch McConnell from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Doc. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. So I know you got a lot of great deals out there at McConnell Automotive, but this morning I want to talk a little bit about the used car deals. What you got going on in that arena?
Well, Doc, we have some really, really great deals on used cars, and I think for people listening, I just want to put our name out there. McConnellAutomotive.com is the website. And the biggest thing, Doc, is we've got about 90 vehicles in stock usually. I mean, everything from a $4,000 car up to a brand, almost brand new Yukon or Escalade. We just really take pride in used cars in Dalton. The hardest thing to do is to buy a used car because you don't really know what you're getting. And so McConnell, we've been around since 1955. We got Gene Stuckey and Louis Arata, our two used car managers. And man, even if we can't, we don't have something in stock, we can actually go buy it for them and custom purchase it. So the best deals anywhere around on used cars, I think, is what we got. And we specialize, Dalton, in the certified GM vehicles that come with the extra warranty. And we want people to check us out if they're looking at a used car, buddy.
All right. Some good stuff. We appreciate it, Mitch.
Y'all have a great day, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see him in person on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, 8:38 on a Thursday. That's when we check in with our buddy Rob Hulbert from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Hey, man.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Probably be one more Robert to talk to today.
It is, if people have not heard us talk about that before, on Thursdays we got a Robert trifecta with Captain Bobby Abrascato, Robert Kennedy Jr., and Rob Hulbert.
Rob the third.
Yep. That's right.
That's it.
We're so very, very Robbie on Thursday morning. All right, a couple things I want to run through. First of all, I bothered you some on text message this week because I was reading Dale Leisha's story, and Dale and I talked the other day on the midday show, but we've now the big ticker, right? The big ticker for what it's cost, what it's now cost to cost for the city of Mobile, for we the taxpayers, for this the mediation, and then for the actual trial upcoming here. We're over $100,000 paying for the battle royale between the city council and the mayor. Is that where we are?
We are. It's okay. Essentially, I guess, doubled since last time we looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
It's $120,000, right?
Yeah, you're right, right.
Taxpayer money. So the $120,000 that have come out of taxpayer dollars in Mobile to pay for clarity in what the Zogbiak says.
Right, to pay for, well, I mean, so far it's been to pay for mediation, I guess, you know, to pay for while they mediate. I mean, obviously filing motions, et cetera, but I'm being a little facetious there, but the... But, you know, what we've been doing thus far, mediation was ordered back in December, so we're pulling up close to, or getting close to a year of mediation, and we've all pretty much admitted it has failed at this point. It's got to go to court, which, you know, some people on this show were saying a long time ago that this just ought to go to court anyway.
Yeah,
and so we're just spending money doing this thing. Spinning our wheels is what we're doing.
Okay, so, and that's about to be... There's about to be a year in December of this going on, and pointed out we're about to come up on 2 years of not having a Mobile City Council president, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
just checking. I'm just checking. Yeah, I got a checklist here. I go through.
You know, I just always try to remind people who say, "Well, the council, the mayor's office is doing this, that, and the other." But even the council hasn't been able to even get its own president. There's some issues on both sides. You know, it is strange.
And it's costing money that could go. I mean, if we could get this solved, I mean, I know maybe in government numbers, $120,000 isn't much, but to hayseeds like me, I look at that and say, if that was, you know, resolved, that money, what could that money be spent on that would better the lives of Mobilians?
Well, you know, it's 60 employees of the city who could get a $2,000 raise for a year. I mean, to break it down, I mean, it's wasting money. It is a, it's unfortunate. I mean, I think they, at least we've gotten to the point now where we don't hear from anybody on the council saying, no, but the city's business is not being affected. At least that's gone away.
Yeah, because
at first a lot. You know, I want to say the city's business isn't being affected. Yes, it's being affected.
Yeah, because we are, if I'm correct still, right, we're running off last year's budget, even though we're in the new fiscal year?
Right, yes. The new fiscal year is here, but we're not... Can't do that because of lawsuits, you know. So, yes, it is affecting the way things are done. We're sort of people are used to working in this situation now. They've become used to having a vice president as president of the council. They've become used to not being able to, you know, figure out whether, you know, they can hire and fire or who's in charge or who people get raised, what people can get raises, which people can't get raises. That's sort of the norm now. That's the new norm.
All right. I don't like it.
You know, hopefully, I hope this is moving toward the some sort of a legal decision on these things.
Yeah, that would be. Let's get it done. Let's get the get an understanding and law of who gets to do what, and let's stop spending money on this and move on.
We know it's going to get appealed, Sean. You know, know that's coming. The losing side is going to appeal it almost certainly. I would be absolutely amazed if they don't, and it's going to end up going to the Supreme Court. I think this is, you know, it's not. We've wasted a year of all sitting in a room trying to kumbaya for this thing.
They wonder why I'm cynical. All right, we'll move on to a couple of other things. Number one, the cover story for the new Lanny app.
Yeah, so we've got on the Mobile side, we've got a story about municipal judges. The city judges are asking for more money. They're kind of it's a little bit of a fallout from Charlie Graddick leaving and having been acting as a judge over there. Now the judges are saying, you know, gosh, we're really overworked. We need help. We need some helpers. And, you know, we're also the lowest paid in the state and for bigger cities. And then on the Baldwin side, we have a really interesting story, which you probably know more about it, but I didn't know a lot about this removal day. I thought it was a Jason Isbell song, but it's a only those Isbell fans will get that.
That was awesome.
But yeah, it's a neat story about how the county seat ended up in Bay Minette and still arguing about it.
It is a fantastic story to the point that I want to put it in a film. Because I mean, when you have the intrigue of having people travel from Bay Minette down and take apart, not only just say now we have it's not just moving to Bay Minette, the seat of government, it's not just moving to Bay Minette. We are taking the physical structures, and taking it to Bay Minette. It's really good stuff.
Just went in there and.
They disassembled it. They disassembled and put it on wagons. It's too good.
They even took the prisoner. They brought a prisoner in there to help him get in and then brought him back to Bay Minette to become the first prisoner in that jail.
This is
the honor of being the first prisoner there.
And then it's the race to get back to Bay Minette to try to get, you know, to get him headed off at the pass, taking the jail and the government structure back up to Bay Minette. Yeah, it's quite a story. And they've got this is coming up, I think, is it this weekend or next? I have to check up in Bay Minette when they do the...
Yeah, it'll be on October 10th. And then so there's, you know, and they'll even have, they'll have people argue the pluses and minuses for either side. That people will argue still about which ones are, you know, where it should be and why this happened. And it's pretty saucy still, you know.
Did you just say that
happened in 1901? So this has been—it's still going, man.
All right, can you hang on over the break?
Sure.
All right, we're coming right back. More with Rob Holbert from Lanyap, new Lanyap out on the streets now. We'll talk about a little bit more about, you know, if you're moving courthouses in the middle of the night, but also want to get into a little more of the what's going on with the judges here in our area. You could read that story and then check out the column. Listen to this for an intriguing title for Damn the Torpedoes this week. Baldwin would give Dallas a run for its money. We'll ask Rob what he's talking about on that when we come back right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, also the sponsor of our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll. That's probably why we call it that. You can check that out on the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com. It's my buddy Trey. He and his crew doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties, commercial properties, residential properties. Basically, if you got junk and you need it gone, let's put it down in layman's terms here. If you got junk, you want that junk to go away, you call Trey. There you go. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Obviously, the phone number, website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. I'm not trying to rile up Dalton, but let me put it this way. Dalton, here's what will happen. They, when you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they will give you a day and a time.
Really?
That you will agree on. Something that works around your work schedule, picking up children, doing those things.
Normal adult things that you have to do.
That's right. So they'll find some time that works for you. You will agree on that time. Then they come meet you at your home or business or storage unit or wherever at that time. Then they would quote you a price. Then you can say yes or no.
Okay.
If you say yes, then they get to work and they get the junk gone and it's finished.
So they don't just show up when you don't expect them to.
They don't give
you
a spectrum of time saying anywhere from 6 a.m. on Monday through midnight Friday.
That's what I'm dealing with right now.
Y'all could call Dalton, email him personally to hear the stories he's going through, but are not from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So that's why we use them. That's why they're a great company to work with. Trey does fantastic work. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Let's talk to our buddy Rob Hulbert with Lanyap. New Lanyap out on the streets now.
It is. It's out on the streets. You've got, we're in 1,500 different locations in Mobile, Baldwin counties. You can also, of course, check us out online at lanyapmobile.com. And, I know there's a paywall. I know it's daunting for some people, but it's 21 cents a day. And, guys, if you're reading the Mobile paper today, the Mobile version, you're missing 10 stories that we did on the Baldwin version that are really good stories. And that's one of the things I wrote my column about this week is some of the things that we've been covering over in Baldwin County.
Yeah, and talk about that because your column, Damn the Torpedoes, your headline, Baldwin would give Dallas a run for its money. What you talking about?
Well, I'm just talking about, just trying to have a little fun. I remember the days of back in the 80s, we had the great nighttime soap operas, Dallas and L.A. Law, and I thought, Baldwin would be a great story, too, because we've got... There's a lot of intrigue going on, and we've been really covering a lot of stuff over there. There's just, we have right now actually Lanyap is in, we're trying to sue to get some body camera footage from the situation where a guy who got in a wreck on the side of I-10 ended up being shot by officers over in Baldwin County a couple of years ago. There's, we also have a situation where the sheriff is denied an attorney the ability to go into the courthouse with his phone or any sort of electronic devices. We've done a couple stories about some lawsuits over there where a straw man was used to ostensibly defraud somebody of $2.4 million. It's a plethora of things over there. We're doing a lot of good investigative reporting, and it's fascinating stuff.
And nobody's wearing cowboy hats, though. That's probably the weakness in this.
What is that?
Nobody's got a cowboy hat on. Nobody's got a Stetson on like they did in Dallas.
I think the sheriff wears a cowboy hat from time
that's true.
To time.
No, that's true. I didn't think about that.
He is. He's the J.R. Ewing in the group, And then you can get into the L.A. law because, there's a lot of legal stuff in lower Alabama here, too. So it plays nicely.
Hey, look
sure
at it.
It all makes perfect sense.
Yeah, well, that's why they need to go read it, right?
You're right.
All right. By the way, looking through some of these emails here, do you have a timeline on this legal proceeding between the mayor's administration and the city council?
No, I don't know when it's going to happen. We hear it's coming sooner, but we were told 3 months ago that there was a settlement coming. So I don't know when it's going to happen. I guess when everybody gets sick and tired of what they're doing, eventually it'll occur.
And maybe it's worth
there's no buzzer, there's no timer.
Okay, and if somebody's new to this conversation, and they can go back and check out past Lanyap, they can go binge read. But
yes,
for me, here's what it is, and then you can lay out your side. What I want is to have clarity to what the Zogby Act that set up our form of government. I would like it to be in plain enough language that I could decipher it in there. Who gets to hire whom, who fires whom, what the budget is, and who gets to do what. I mean, and just have it say in language that this is who gets to do this, this is who gets to do that. That's what I want.
Yeah, I think so. That's perfect. I mean, I think we have a lot of great things happening in our city, and we spend a lot of time wasting, fighting with one another in the city government about things such as who can hire a public relations person, or who gets to hire and fire this person, or can the mayor give raises to certain employees or other employees. These are real ticky tacky things, but they have turned there's a lot of toxic attitude between one another over all these things, and it's you're really damaging a lot of what you're doing, and that all they really need to do is get that stuff over and know their boundaries. I think that would be helpful.
I second that for sure. All right, we will, I imagine, still be talking about this in weeks to come.
Sure we will.
All right, Rob. We appreciate your time. Y'all check out the new land app, Mobile and Baldwin County, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, we'll do. Rob Holbert checking in. I've got a couple minutes here before we head into the Mike Gallagher Show. I shouldn't remind people of this, the people in it, but because I had such a fantastic week. But don't forget, if you're one of our College Pick'em Challenge players and you want a shot at me, I'm doing better than I've ever done, and it's by nothing but just chance and happenstance.
No, don't put yourself down. What are you in? You're tied. I think you're 3 points behind the leaders.
That would be correct.
And you're tied for like seventh place or something that.
Pretty strong performance for me, because I'm pretty sure that I should be at the bottom of the College Pick'em Barrel, and to be up there, it's a limited time.
Yep. I don't think so. I think you'll keep it rolling. I'm coming back strong this week.
It's a rebuilding week, and you've been doing a lot there to get better. But if people have not yet, they got to put their College Pick'em challenges in. If you are one of the people in our group, the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em group.
That's right. You have until Saturday morning, but the earlier you get them in, the better, because a lot of people forget once they hit Friday and they know they're in the weekend. Mm-hmm. They forget to fill their picks in and don't realize it until they've missed a game or two. But just get those picks in before Saturday. Lots of good games to pick. Of course, Auburn takes on Florida. That's one of these that you have to choose. And that game you can hear right here on FM Talk 106.5. Pregame starts at 11:30 on Saturday morning. Kickoff at 2:30. Auburn's third top 25 matchup already this year. Their sixth game of the year. This will be their third top 25 matchup. And it is in the Swamp. 2:30 on Saturday.
And by the way, they'll be talking about it tonight. Tiger Talk starting at 6 here at FM Talk 106.5. And then our man Doug Holton and Tiger Talk Overtime at 7.
I should have talked trash to Robert Kennedy while he was here. Air Force plays Navy this weekend, too.
Really?
I missed my chance.
Yeah. Well, send him an email. Let's call him. All right. Mike Gallagher next. Talk to y'all at noon.